on.
Live from Los Angeles.
It's the PHP.
The Perez Hilton
Podcast.
We're my man.
Chris Booker.
Chris Booker.
It's Booker, baby.
And the one and only world famous Perez.
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 The Perez Hilton.
It's the PHP.
Well, hey, guys, welcome to the PHP. I am Chris Booker. He's Perez Hilton. How are you?
I'm good. I just wasn't ready to start recording the podcast yet. So it's like my brain is not there right now. I just got back. I had to unpack everything and I'm about to start repacking everything. And I had to go run some errands this morning, which I don't normally do before the podcast because I'm already like rushing to get everything done and be here. I had to run a couple of errands very quickly because I'm leaving on Sunday to go to New York, and it's my sister's birthday tomorrow, and I have to like do some things around that. So it's like just really busy, but you know, it is what it is.
Overall, grade the trip. I want to know, I mean, did you have a great time?
Oh, I had the best time. Well, I don't even want, oh, fuck it, whatever. If I repeat myself, I repeat myself. I'll keep talking about Israel to tell me to shut up. It was really nice to not just be on vacation, be out of A, my routine, and B, out of the bubble of like thinking that everything is about Donald Trump when it really,
it's not.
Although in America, it kind of does feel that way, doesn't it? Like,
well, I think it does for you because you live online so much and so much of the activity online is about politics. And when you step away from it and you go out and you experience life, you realize that it doesn't really have a lot to do with your own life from day to day.
True. Yeah. But even like when you try to escape it, like I was at the gym this morning and CNN is on. And
well, the Sessions thing is happening today.
Oh,
so there's just new news every day. But the news channels got us. They got us hooked in with this guy. And I don't think it's as bad as everybody says it is. That's my personal opinion about everything. I just don't think it's that bad.
I know. I don't remember it being like this when Barack Obama was in office, though.
Mm-mm.
Before I went, I went to go see New Kids on the Block and Paula Abdul and Boys to Men. And I want to share my thoughts on that. You had tweeted me that you love Paula Abdul.
Well, I know Paula. I mean,
oh, you
I used
do?
To work with her. But yeah,
oh,
I
you
love
did?
Paula. I used to hit on her all the time. It used to drive her crazy.
Where did you work with her?
Entertainment Tonight. She did some stuff when I worked there. I think she was like kind of a, maybe during American Idol. I can't remember what she was doing, but she did some stuff for them. So I was with Paula all of the time. She's great.
Well, this was her first time touring in about 25 years.
What was that like?
I was so impressed. And listen, I like to keep it real. I would say her show was probably 80% lip synced. And I had zero problem with it. Here's why. The production was spectacular. And not just that, she worked her ass off. Like she put in so much effort. And even though she wasn't singing live, and I always prefer that, like she put Britney to shame. She would dance circles around Britney Spears. Like
really?
She, oh yeah, they were flipping her in the air. She did this thing where she climbed on top of a huge ladder and jumped off the huge ladder and her backup dancers caught her. And not even that, like she had this wall, like a video wall behind her. And I don't know if you remember like the Billboard Music Awards, maybe 2010, 2011, or around then when Beyoncé had that Who Run the World album out and Beyoncé did a performance in front of a video screen that was so precise. Do you remember that?
I do.
Paula did something very similar. Like it, and in order to do that, that takes such precision and execution and rehearsal and nailing your numbers and your spots. And like, it was so well done. Like kudos to all of them. And
was it like the video when she danced with MC Scat Cat and then she had to dance together with the cartoon? Did she kind of do that as well?
More than that. Like there was even more precision to that. Like, like there was a number that was a bit of a tribute to Gene Kelly and she had this fake umbrella that was on the video screen. And for her to like nail that, she had to nail it. Like if she was off half a foot, it would have looked
right.
It would have looked awful.
Dumb.
Yeah. Huh. But she was so on it. Like I was so impressed. And Boys to Men, always great. And New Kids on the Block actually changed their show up since the last time I had seen them. It was a whole lot cheesier in a good way. It was so cheesy and campy and silly and fun. Like these older dudes in their late 40s, mid-40s, like lifting their shirts off and like being shirtless with all these girls screaming at them. It was so funny. And they totally like reveled in it. They're like, yeah, we're in on the joke and we love it. Everyone except for Jonathan, who just clearly doesn't want to be there and is doing it for the fans.
He's taking the check.
Yeah. Well, I would say he's doing it for the fans as well as the money. Both. I mean, both. Or maybe just the money. I don't know why he's really doing it. And I'm not shitting on him, because he's in the past spoken up about his anxiety issues. So mm-hmm. I prefer that he was there doing not much, because it wouldn't be the same without him.
Right.
Even though he doesn't bring much to the table, he still completes them. Mm-hmm. So that was awesome. I was bummed that I missed LA Gay Pride. Actually, being in Tel Aviv as the international ambassador for Tel Aviv Pride, that was the first time I had been to a pride in a long time. Like in LA, I'll go to all like the protests and the marches, not all of them, but I go to a lot of protests and marches, and that feels more important and relevant to me. And I hadn't been to a pride in a long time, and it felt really good to be at Pride. So I'm going to try to go next year, and hopefully it's different than what I remember it, which was just like my friends getting drunk and people getting wasted.
That's what it was in my neighborhood.
Oh, God.
Guys wearing no clothes whatsoever, like peeing on my apartment building and peeing on everything. That's what it is. A bunch of people peeing in the streets and throwing up.
God, that's
what it
annoying.
Is. I don't really get the purpose of it anymore. I really don't. I just think it's just a big celebration to ruin my neighborhood. That's what it seems like to me. But
one of the interesting things that I noticed, though, was Donald Trump on Monday of this week tweeted out about the Orlando massacre that happened last June. Mm-hmm. And he said, "We'll never forget," or some bullshit like that. Like, and he didn't mention a single thing about Gay Pride Month.
Okay, so he mentioned something, but you're pissed that he didn't mention more?
Well, he mentioned something about the massacre, and also ignored the fact that almost every single person killed in there was a gay person.
That's not a hidden fact. I mean, it was a gay nightclub. The entire country knows.
Well,
that.
It just seems to me like that he just tweeted about that because that was like the thing to do. Not that he gives a shit. That's what I'm getting at.
That's you putting your thoughts on him instead of taking him for his words and the value that he put out there. He said he's concerned. He tweeted he's concerned. I mean, why can't you just leave it at that?
Well, he didn't say he was concerned. He was just saying we'll never forget, or some bullshit like
okay
that.
So he won't forget. He said at least he did something. How many other people did nothing?
Well, he did nothing when it comes to like acknowledging that it's Gay Pride Month.
Does he have to acknowledge that tomorrow's Flag Day? I mean, seriously, do we have to acknowledge every single thing on Twitter?
I guarantee you that
by the way, I haven't acknowledged that it's Gay Pride Month. Should I? Am I an asshole now? I mean, what does that mean? I don't understand the correlation you're trying to make.
Well, my correlation is, I guarantee you.
You have an agenda.
No, I guarantee.
Yes, you do.
No, you let me state it. My correlation is, I guarantee you. I would put good money on it. And actually, I should go back and check. He probably did. I can check because he was already president by the time it happened. He will tweet or did tweet about Black History Month, but he didn't tweet a damn thing about Gay Pride Month. And if he hadn't tweeted anything about Black History Month, that would have been a huge deal. Don't you think?
No.
No?
I didn't tweet a damn thing about Black History
Month. You're not president of the United States. You don't represent people.
You don't owe anything anybody on Twitter. You don't owe the world a, hey, Happy New Year. You don't. You do what you want. It's not required. It's not mandatory. I think it's silly that you say this. You're projecting your agenda upon him.
No.
Because he didn't do something that you wanted him to do.
The normal person.
I'm the normal person. I haven't tweeted about any of this.
And I don't think that that's a problem. He's the president, and he has established, he's said this, that Twitter is his means of communication. That is how he wants to communicate to the people. So
story. This is a non-story.
It is a story. Whatever. I'm a gay man. This is bothersome to me.
Okay. Did you send out a tweet that said, "Hey, happy National Black History Month"?
I guarantee you I did. Let me go back and find it. Hold on.
But no one asked you to. Like, if you didn't, I wouldn't care. You live in this bubble, in this fake world of internet, that this is what matters. None of this matters. What you do in your life
okay,
is what matters.
Okay, well, I want you to answer my question. If I was a black man and if I told you that Donald Trump not acknowledging Black History Month was offensive to me, would you say that's a non-story to me?
I would say it's a 100% non-story.
That's the difference between you and me.
I guess so, because I don't think anybody owes anything to anybody else.
He's the president.
I don't care that he didn't say, hey, everybody, happy Black History Month.
I mean, it sounds fake when you do that.
So what, now he's racist because he doesn't tweet it or he doesn't like gay people?
No,
when he has a complete history of liking gay people, has no problem with gay marriage, has attended gay marriages before? I mean,
He does not like gay people as president. Translation, to you, what he says at a press conference matters more than what he tweets?
What comes out of his mouth, yes, matters more. Because Twitter's a dumb app on your phone that isn't real. It's silly. I don't care what anybody tweets. I tweet about The Bachelor, for crying out loud.
In the White House, this month, Gay Pride Month, the White House is doing nothing.
I don't care what the White House thinks about your sexuality or mine. They shouldn't be involved, is what I think. Like, anyone ever goes to that website anyhow. What are you on the White House website every day? No, nobody is.
I am very disappointed. I hope you never set foot in another gay bar ever again.
Why? Why? I support gay people, but this has nothing to do with supporting gay people.
Your words did not sound very supportive to me. Let's move on.
I go to Pride. I'm in these streets. I live in this neighborhood. I go to these bars. These people are my neighbors and my family. I don't get how caring the White House, a place that I have no place in, I don't care what they put on their website.
No, not even the website.
I don't go to their website.
Not even the website. I'm telling you, having a pride celebration or a pride event or just even acknowledging that it's Pride Month in some capacity at the White House itself proper. So whatever, let's move on. I'm sure people will call us and let us know their thoughts, but I personally am very surprised by your sentiments.
I don't care what the White House does. I really don't.
I think they're all
a bunch of old white imbeciles.
And you don't care what Donald Trump tweets.
His moronic tweets make no sense. He contradicts himself. They're almost entertainment for me. I just don't see how you don't get that.
Well, I get it, but on the flip side, he's still also president. Anyways, we missed because of everything that happened in our recording schedule, all that drama with Kathy Griffin, which seems to have died down now.
Where are you on it?
I would not have done it, but it didn't bother me that she did it. Did I think it was offensive? Yes, I think that was her intention. Did I think it crossed the line? For me, yes, but she also is a comedian and they are given more liberty, I think, to push the envelope or rip it up. And also, she did work with a fine artist. It wasn't just any photographer. It was an artful photographer who displays his work in galleries. Having said all that, I mean, she clearly did it for attention.
Sure.
And it almost worked too well. And the thing that upset me was not that she did it. It was the fact that she apologized. I'm like, Joan Rivers would have never apologized. Don Rickles would have never apologized.
Yeah, but it's a different day. I mean, that's kind of like saying, well, it's okay for a comedian to say, you know, to use a racial slur or make fun of someone's sexual orientation. It used to be that you could do things like that until we wisened up and you go, you know what? We don't do that anymore. You know what I'm saying? So you can't sit there and apply, well, it used to be. If Joan Rivers was still alive today, she might have to apologize for that because she might not work again because we're such a kid glove society. Things have changed. It's kind of hard to go back in time and say, well, she wouldn't have apologized. The uproar wouldn't have been what it was. There is Twitter. Everyone's upset all of the time, constantly out there because of the internet. I don't know if that's really fair to say.
Well, I still don't think she should have apologized. I don't think she should have. Do you think she should have apologized?
I think she should have apologized, sure. It's the president of the United States. That's a little much, especially coming off of what's going on in the world. I would have apologized. I would have said, you know what, that showed poor taste on my behalf. But after that, I would have shut up. I wouldn't have gotten that attorney involved. Then I wouldn't have went out there crying like, he broke me. You did this. You did this. He didn't do that. You did this. So I found that to be a bit much, but I think she should have apologized.
Well, it's weird. Kathy is an odd ball because I think she's got a lot of different audiences. Clearly, I would say her main audience are the gays. But, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, I am, for I think at least well over a decade now, she has spent a lot of time traveling all over the world and in America performing for troops and veterans. Like mm-hmm. she's gone on multiple USA tours. She visits veterans and veterans hospitals. To me, that's a damn patriotic person. She's not getting paid for that. And I don't think she's doing it for publicity because, you know, performing for the troops in wherever is not going to give her publicity here. And doing it so much and for so many years shows to me that her intentions are true and pure.
Like she's accrued some goodwill because of all the things that she's done.
Yeah. So it's almost like, I hope these people who are outraged at her can also look past that stunt and realize, you know what? Like she's a good person and has done probably more good for America than Donald Trump has. Anyways, what did you think about that whole, what's his name? Bill Maher? Yeah, Bill Maher.
Yeah, Bill Maher. I mean,
what do you think about that?
Well, that's come on, man. And it goes back to kind of what you just said. You know, you're a comedian on the spot trying to be funny. It's a bad joke. He apologized for the joke. He went on and took his lumps. And I kind of feel like everybody has moved on past it. Kathy Griffin should have taken a note. Hey, I did something dumb. I apologize. I'm going to move on. But she, to me, it kind of feels like she doubled down on it. I would not have said to do that. I would have said, you did your apology. Now let the story just die down. Like you said, you wouldn't have apologized. Bill Maher understands how insensitive that word is, using it in any way to people. And he said, you know what? I get it. That word offends people. I was trying to be funny. I'm a comedian. Not every joke works. It's true. Jokes bomb all of the time for various reasons. He didn't see that one coming. Maybe he did after he said it. He realized he put his foot in his mouth. He's just trying to be funny. It doesn't excuse what he said, but I don't think he should be fired for it. I think comedians need to have leeway in this country. I think they need to have artistic expression. If you don't like it, don't follow that comedian. Don't watch that comedian. Don't support that comedian. I think he handled it right. I think the tone he took when he came back on the air on his show was right. I kind of feel like people have moved on. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, although I had more issue with Bill Maher and that drama than I did with Kathy Griffin. Because, really? Yeah, because Bill Maher was speaking spontaneously, like you mentioned, like almost from the heart. Like, you know, in those moments of spontaneity, you reveal your true self. Whereas, you know, Kathy could have had a bunch of different reasons why she did it. Like she wanted to shock people. She wanted to make a political statement. She wanted that attention. And Bill Maher, like, I would not use that word. I would not say that. That's not in my heart. But he did. And I think it's telling that he did. And I also think it's telling that he has dated Black women. And some people could read into it, be like, you know, there's like a sense of ownership. And there's just a lot that could be read into why he said what he said in a spontaneous moment. So whatevs. Anyways, over the weekend, Katy Perry was live streaming nonstop in this like Big Brother-like experience, partnering up with YouTube to promote her new album. Actually, I've got it. Actually, let me check the very latest. Wow, that's surprising. Anyway, it's so crazy. There's still a lot of people that buy albums. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's streaming yet. The numbers that are being projected for Katy's first week are 200 to 225,000 units. Of those, 175 to 200,000 in pure sales. And that's actually a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Katy was making a lot of headlines. A lot of those headlines were about Taylor Swift. And I am so over her talking about Taylor Swift.
What's the update now? She forgives Taylor. All is good. There's bigger things to fight in the world, I think I read.
And she even changed the lyric in her song Swish Swish, like saying, God bless you, baby girl, or some bullshit like that. Like, seriously, like that, I'm upset. That lyric upset me because It's also
condescending.
The lyric that she changed was, "Don't you come for me." She changed it to, "God bless you on your journey, oh baby girl." Don't call me oh baby girl, bitch. Like, seriously?
Sort of a backhanded jab.
It's totally.
If you look at it that way, I mean, you're choosing to look at it that way. She chose to change the lyric. She's trying. You're not buying it.
I didn't watch the therapy session before I read the headlines and read some of the quotes. And at first, I thought to myself, like, oh, she's totally pulling a Kardashian. Like, she's exploiting herself for publicity. And as I've said repeatedly, you know, added publicity doesn't always translate to TV ratings or streams or sales or whatever it might be. But I ended up watching it and it was an hour long. And I was riveted and it was, it was fascinating. And I saw so much of myself in her, especially because, like, I didn't even think about it. Like, she was talking about, like, the differences between Katy Perry and Katherine Hudson, her birth name, and how she used to be known as. And then I was like, oh my God, I could totally see the parallels between Perez Hilton and Mario Lavandeira. And just all of the things that she was saying really resonated to me, like letting go of, you know, fear and things that I've been talking about myself in the last 2 weeks. So, like, as I started to watch it, I'm like, I kept on watching because I felt like she was almost like, I felt like that was me. And she was also talking directly to me. It was, it was fascinating. Kudos to the team from YouTube that put it all together because, oh my God, that was so much content. Every hour was programmed and that was a lot of live broadcasting. It was not just like Big Brother, but it was like Big Brother on speed because they had to do so much more in a short amount of time live. It was awesome. I mean, some of it was like, ugh, I could have dealt without. Like, she was spilling the tea on who was her best lover, John Mayer, Diplo, or Orlando Bloom. I'm like, I would not have done that.
No, I can't believe she answered that question.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Everything she did to me, everything she did all weekend long, the one takeaway that just came back in every single story was that.
No, not just that.
That's the headlines I've seen over and over. Like, you're telling me about the therapy session. Like, I wish I would have heard about that. I didn't hear about that till you told me about that. That's my point.
That's what you're reading today or yesterday, because that was like the last thing she did. Some of these other things were towards the beginning of the weekend.
I'm not on top of it as much as you are. I look at myself as more of, as a casual consumer of getting the internet stuff. The headlines eventually get to me when it comes to pop culture. But like, this stuff to me seems to be buried. The stuff you were just talking about, I find it fascinating, but it didn't hit me until you just brought it up.
It was fascinating. I highly recommend everybody watch the entire hour long thing. And the guy who did it, Dr. Singh, I believe is his name, is so good. I loved it so much. I tried to get on his show after watching it, but I got rejected because he does a show for Vice Land or Vice, and they only do musicians on his show. It's a new show.
Ah.
I would have walked away from that a better person, and I would think she would too. I would hope so. Anyways, on to other news. Congratulations to Halsey. She has the number one album in America with her sophomore album. I love the Halsey album. It's so good and it's so varied and unlike what I thought it would be based on the single. If I had to describe it, I would almost call it like the musical equivalent of chocolate mousse. It feels textured and creamy and expensive, or not really. I mean, good chocolate mousse. Good chocolate. Yeah. Good chocolate mousse. It's like, it's just so yummy. And I can't rave enough about it. I also love the new Dua Lipa album. Do you know her? Are you familiar with her?
No.
Oh, she's so good. Check that one out as well. The Katy album came out. I listened to the whole thing. And I like to be honest, I only listened to the whole thing once. So, based on first impressions, the album has 15 songs on it.
Yeah.
I only like 4 out of the 15.
I think you're being generous. I kind of only like 2.
I'm talking total, including previous singles. So I'm including Chain to the Rhythm, which I like, and Bon Appetit, which I like.
Oh, man. So there's only two other songs that you like.
I think it's just a lot of mid-tempo and ballads, but that aren't even that good on the album. Well, despite all of that, like I mentioned earlier, it's still selling well.
She has fans. Let's not sit there and say that Katy Perry doesn't have fans. She has fans, lots of them. But it's always, like I said, week 4, week 8, week 12. That's where you see where an album is. You know, week 1, she better be number 1. If Halsey's number 1, then Katy Perry better be number 1. I would be very concerned if I was her or her record label or her camp.
I'm not happy about this, but like I said before, I called it. I called it a long time ago.
Long time ago.
Just because of her
age. Well, you said she had one more record in her.
This was not it, unfortunately.
This may not be it. Maybe the next one will be really good.
To talk a little bit more about new music, what did you think about the new Fifth Harmony song, Down?
It's repetitive as F. It's not a bad song. It's not one I'm dying to hear again and again and again. It's not bad. I'm okay on it.
Well, I would say I feel equal to it that I did with Work From Home. And it almost sounds a lot like Work From Home. It almost seems like a part two of that.
Which isn't bad.
No.
I never really loved Work From Home, though. And I do get that it was a hit. So I don't know. I mean, will they bring this song home? I don't know. So far, it's not doing very well. It's doing okay. We'll see.
Also, there's a new song from Julia Michaels that I love. And I think it's a smash. Hopefully, radio will support it. And even if it doesn't, like, it might happen on its own. Did you hear that one?
I don't know that one. No, I haven't heard that one yet.
Oh, it's so good. It's called by Julia Michaels. It almost sounds like 90s, but still modern, but not like dance 90s, more like alternative 90s, like Liz Phair almost. I love, okay. Do you like Liz Phair?
Loved her.
I know. I loved Liz Phair. It feels very 2017 Liz Phair. So I suggest everybody check that out. Also, Beth Ditto. Actually, you might really enjoy this one. Do you know who Beth Ditto is?
Mm-mm.
She used to be the front woman of this band called The Gossip. I love Beth Ditto. I love The Gossip.
The Gossip?
Or Gossip, yeah.
I don't know them.
They're an American band, but they were big in the UK. She's got a song out called We Could Run that sounds like a U2 song from back in the day. It's so good.
Ooh, cool.
I don't know if this is true. Did you hear about this and Demi Moore?
Two front teeth being missing?
Allegedly from stress. Is that a real thing?
I don't know. That's weird.
Shear off teeth. I'm Googling this right now.
From stress? What stress does Demi Moore have?
The fact that she's not as successful as she used to be and that she's getting...
So what? She's rich.
And that she's getting older and she's probably not as hot as she used to be.
She's Demi Moore. I mean, everybody ages. God, she's still hot. She was hot for so long, too. Calm down, Demi.
I just don't believe this. This is what she says. I'd love to say it was skateboarding or something really kind of cool, but I think it's something that's important to share because I think it's literally probably after heart disease, one of the biggest killers in America, which is stress. Stress sheared off my front tooth.
Jesus.
That's so weird. I've never heard of that before.
I've never heard of it either.
Maybe she's hitting the pipe. I'm just kidding. I don't know if I believe that.
Maybe a pipe hit her in the teeth. I mean, that seems more likely.
Tinashe was also, is it Tinashe or Tinashe? Tinashe, I think. Yeah, Tinashe, whom I love, was trending on Twitter today because of some comments that she made about colorism and the Black community. She's biracial, half Black, right, half white. And like I said, I love Tinashe, .. but she's got to stop blaming others or issues for her career not really taking off and just own the fact that she hasn't been releasing bops lately. That's really what I think it's all about. She hasn't been releasing hits.
Yeah.
In other news, let's see here. I was so bummed to read this. Oprah Winfrey says she will never run for public office, saying that's a pretty definitive thing. Crushing all my hopes for an Oprah 2020 run.
Why would you want that? She knows nothing about politics.
So neither did Donald Trump.
Okay, so what? You want another Donald Trump?
I can guarantee you Oprah would do a better job than Donald Trump.
You can't guarantee anything.
I can guarantee you Oprah
I can guarantee you this. She knows as much about politics as Donald Trump does. How about this? I don't want any more people that know nothing about politics being in politics. That's what I'm pretty sure about right now.
Well, we'll see. He might get reelected.
His disapproval rating was pretty low this morning.
He might get reelected. Then what would that tell you about the American people?
I don't know what it says about people in general. I just know that there's a lot of people that wanted change, wanted something different. But that happens every 8 years. I mean, that's the pattern in this country. So we've had bad presidents before.
Nixon. Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott are still dating, and they just got matching tattoos.
Really?
That's kind of quick. Definitely a sign that their relationship is going to be doomed. I was really happy to see that Lindsay Lohan's back at work. She's going to be acting again in a TV show. The TV show is in the UK, though, but I'm sure it'll likely end up somewhere in America, whether that be Netflix or BBC America or something.
Which accent is she going to use? She's adopted this new weird accent. It's just the weirdest thing I've ever heard. I heard her speak again recently because she did that one interview, and I think we played a little clip on this show.
Yeah, but then
I heard another interview after it, and it's not as wacky as the first one, but it's still wacky. You got to hear it. It's pretty good.
Oh, I do. Oh, my God. And did you watch that clip of Jerry Seinfeld and Kesha?
That was amazing. I don't know who Kesha is.
Well, the interesting thing is that a lot of people feel very strongly about this on both sides. So if you didn't watch, Kesha and Jerry Seinfeld were at an event together on the red carpet, and she comes up to him and wanted a hug on the red carpet. And she tried more than once to get a hug out of him and refused. He refused. He would not give her a hug. So then, of course, I just had to put myself in that situation. Like, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't say I'm like down to hug a random stranger, but if somebody...
I think you would be.
No, I have. I do all the time.
People will come up to you and like, oh my God, I love listening to you. I've seen it happen.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. So if I hear somebody like Kesha was, and I didn't know who that person was, but if they were being really nice and genuine, I would totally hug them. But not everybody's a hugger.
I mean, I don't know. I get it. He's an older guy. He doesn't want pictures out there of him hugging some young girl or something. I mean, I get it. I don't think it's weird. I think if he's like, look, hugs are for people I know, you know, I guess I don't find that strange so much.
And what was sad, though, is that after he dissed her, he then rendered her irrelevant by not knowing who she was.
That's brutal.
That was sad. Oh, my God.
But he's Jerry Seinfeld. I mean, come on. He's got to be in his, what? He's probably 60 by now. So does a late 50-year-old have to know who Kesha is? TikTok Kesha? Well, you know, she hasn't had a hit in 5 years either.
I'm sure he knows who Katy Perry is.
Katy Perry's relevant. She's all over the TV. Kesha's not so much. You know, I mean, like I said, what's the last Kesha hit song?
Timber. With Pitbull.
Timber, I'm going down, I'm going Timber. How many years ago was that, like four? Three? I feel like this lawsuit's been going on for a long time.
Oh, it has. She's done. He's done. Dr. Luke is done. They're both done.
I don't think Dr. Luke is done. I think he'll just quietly continue doing what he does.
I was really happy to see the return of Amanda Bynes. Did you watch that interview?
I saw a little clip of it. I just saw what you posted, that you were happy that she was sober.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Okay, I hear a laugh in your voice.
No,
so
there was no laugh.
Mean?
There was no laugh.
No, but there was something.
Yeah, like, she seems better, but I wouldn't say she seems 100%.
Compared to what she used to be?
Yeah.
Just 100% normal?
Both. Compared to how she was 10 years ago and compared to normal.
Okay.
I mean, I think...
See, I really don't have anything to compare it to. Yeah. None of us do. I mean, you knew her.
Yeah, I think maybe she's on medication, which is probably a good thing. But she seemed much better than before, and that made me happy.
Okay, but when you knew her, let me ask you this. Was she just like a kind of normal person?
1,000%.
1,000%?
Yeah.
There were no signs to you like, this girl's a little wacky?
Zero.
Because all actresses to me are wacky. She was normal actress wacky.
Zero signs.
Huh. And she said it was the drugs.
She did in that interview, which surprised me, but the interviewer sucked. She didn't like dive deep. She didn't follow that up with like, what right. drugs?
What drugs?
That's what I was
what
waiting for. Yeah.
What were you doing?
Yeah.
Like, we want to know.
Seriously. Yeah. I'm like, because she'd only spoken out about weed before. Yeah, it was weird. It was weird watching because she seems so much better, but still, I would say, like I said, not 100%. But gotcha. Listen, I'm happy she's a lot better, and I wish her more of that.
Okay.
Oh, God, this was not something I would have done. Ariel Winter's mother...
Oof, here we go.
...gave an interview talking about her daughter's... Instagram life, let's say, and the Modern Family stars posting very revealing photos and wearing very revealing outfits when she goes out and about. Ariel's mom says in a new interview, she needs to grow up. I would tell her to dress properly, be the beautiful person she is. I feel sad that she feels the need to expose herself when it's not necessary. Ariel is smart, beautiful, and talented. She's a legitimate actress. She does not need to do this. She is beautiful with her clothes on. And I would agree with a lot of what she is saying, but the mother is estranged from her daughter. She got legally emancipated. And that's probably not what I would have done if I wanted to like reconcile with my daughter.
Right. That's not getting Thanksgiving back together this year, that statement.
Nope. And even if I believed that, I would tell my daughter that privately. Like, I wouldn't be telling my daughter that
right,
publicly. Yeah. Like, yeah. Even if my daughter was doing that, like, my line would be, let me think about it.
But she's embarrassed, though. I think she's embarrassed that she raised that girl.
Yeah, I get that. And I would probably be, too. And how would I respond to that if a reporter asked me? I would say...
She's a grown-up. She's going to dress how she wants to dress.
No, I've got to think about it. I'd be like, my response would be...
Our little lovely Mia, she shows up. She's showing almost her cooch on Instagram. A reporter sticks their camera in your face. By the way, you're not Perez Hilton, though. You're not famous. Your daughter happens to be famous.
You don't want me to be Perez Hilton?
No. I want you to be Perez Hilton, but not famous Perez Hilton. I want you just to be dad Perez Hilton. You know what I mean? Like, you're not a famous person.
Okay.
Because Ariel Winter's mom's not famous. She shouldn't be asked questions. That's my point.
But why don't you want to know what I would say? It's probably different things.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Why?
Well, let me think. All right. I'll try to think of different answers. All right.
Okay.
Perez Hilton would say, I would say in the past, I've said a lot of things that got a lot of people talking. She takes after her dad.
You would pass the buck. she takes after her dad.
Because those are accurate statements. In the past, I've said a lot of things that have gotten people talking, and she takes after her dad.
Yeah.
And that's also being supportive of my daughter, even if privately I would not be supportive of that.
Okay. I don't hate your response. I like it so far. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what Perez Hilton would say. If I'm a non-famous dad, I would just say, I don't talk about my daughter's private life.
Right. And why do you have a microphone in my face? Why are you talking to me?
I'm here to talk about myself.
I'm not famous. I'm not famous. Get that microphone out of my face. I'm not famous.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. What else are we talking about here?
Poor Mia. We just got to keep her off the stripper pole, okay?
I don't think
that is the job.
I don't think
I
she will.
If I have to.
Oh God! Did you see Keisha Knight Pulliam showed up in court with Bill Cosby? Oh, that really surprised me and upset me because she's co-signing what he's done, and. Ugh. If he gets out of this one particular case, it must be good lawyering or semantics. But 50 plus women have come forward saying that Bill Cosby did the same or similar things to them.
Yeah.
She's standing against 50 plus women and with Bill Cosby.
That's her friend. She doesn't know the 50 plus people.
Yeah, well, fuck that. If I was her boss, I'd fire that bitch.
Well, let's let due process do its due diligence.
Oh God. What else? Oh, God. Oh, my God. How could I have forgotten this? I got to let you shine here.
I was waiting. I've been waiting the whole show. I didn't want to bring it up.
I told you I didn't have my flow together before we started recording.
Your flow's fine.
There's a lot of drama with Bachelor in Paradise.
Or better known as Whore Island, as I've been calling it for the past couple of years.
Let me get something straight, though. So,
okay.
A lot of the drama surrounding what happened on Bachelor in Paradise was stemming from the fact that these two contestants were really drunk. Don't they also drink on The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise?
100%.
So this is nothing new.
No. Let me explain the difference. The Bachelor, you know, they're trying to get them a little loopy so they open up a little bit. And it's not to get them the loopy so they can, you know, they're taking off their clothes. The idea of this Bachelor in Paradise, it's in Mexico. It's a beach setting. They get them all liquored up and they record what happens typically. And most of these girls can keep their clothes on. You know, they're making out, and that's typical and usual. This Corinne girl, she couldn't keep her clothes on when she was on The Bachelor at all. Like, all the girls hated her. She was the first one to jump in the pool and take off her top in front of the guy, in front of everybody. She's an exhibitionist. She was the girl that everyone was talking about when she was on last season. She was the only reason to watch, if you ask me. She was fun. Now, we saw her after the show in the sort of in the setting with Chris Harrison, where, you know, you find a little bit about the person in an interview setting. And she was actually pretty likable. She almost came across as normal, like, look, I know the role of the show and what I was doing, and I gave them what they wanted. And I kind of liked her a little bit more because of it. But you put her back in the setting. She was always the drunk girl on The Bachelor. She was always the girl that was taking a nap. She was always the exhibitionist. She was always the girl that wanted the camera on her. So I'm sure they knew this going in. I don't know what happened. All I read was what allegedly happened, and I don't even know if I should say that. But that's the idea of the show, man. Like, it's Whore Island. I call it Whore Island for a reason. It's get drunk and see what happens. And I'll make this prediction right now. That show will never see the light of air again. Bachelor in Paradise, mark my words, will be canceled.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it also just depends on really what happened and what the footage shows. But I think the fact that production was canceled or put on indefinite hold means something serious must have happened on that footage. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I gotta think that ABC has themselves pretty protected with their contracts about their nudity, about them hooking up with other contestants. I gotta think that when you go on a show like that, you waive a lot of your rights. Now, I don't know how far they went. What I read sounds pretty offensive to me, that if she was passed out and the guy was doing things to her while she was passed out and they didn't stop filming, they're in big trouble if that's what indeed happened. But was she fake passed out? Was she playing a role like she always does? The lines are blurred.
I would think that a camera guy would step in, but maybe he just didn't know she was passed out.
I think,
or maybe she wasn't passed out and she just blacked out and didn't remember.
Right. Maybe she was acting the whole time. What she's done.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, because I've been...
I'm saying that's also a possibility. Yeah. I'm not saying it. I'm saying there's a possibility.
I'm not saying that at all. I know that, though, when I've been really drunk in the past, I've blacked out. Like, sometimes you just forget. Like, my friend, like, when I was in Vegas in June of 2016, I was like, wait, what? Like, I got that drunk. I didn't remember how I got to my hotel. Like, oh, it was not good, but...
Yeah.
Definitely a lot of drama, and that story has been dominating the news.
Yep.
But
keep your eyes on it. But that show will be canceled. Mark my words.
But I still don't care about the show, and I still wouldn't watch it.
I don't blame you for it. Listen, that's a terrible show. I don't watch that show. It's too awful for me. It's below my standards, and I watch The Bachelor.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad I let you talk about that. We've talked for a while. Let's take some calls.
Hey, Perez. Hey, Booker. My name's Alicia, and I'm from Colorado. This may be some old news, but I recently saw a video circulating around social media of Justin Bieber in a club singing along to Despacito. During the performance, he admits that he doesn't know the lyrics and then proceeds to sing along to the track using what I would consider to be ignorant and offensive lyrical substitutes. I was wondering if you guys have seen this video and what your opinions were on this. Do you guys feel like he's obligated to learn the lyrics based off of how much money he's making off of the success of the track? Thank you. Bye.
Well, I think she may have been talking about the first time that happened. That happened again, actually. Yeah, oh, yeah. he was in concert or at a club. I forget where it happened, either at his concert or at a club. And people were asking him to perform it. And he said that he didn't know the lyrics, which I think is better than, like, bullshitting your way through it.
Right.
But if I had a number one song, I would fucking learn the lyrics to my number one song.
I would learn the lyrics too. And he, by the way, the offensive thing that he was saying was burrito, burrito, instead of Despacito. I don't know how that's offensive. He doesn't know the lyrics. I mean, I get your point. Like, he should probably want to learn them, but I don't know if that offends you. I mean, man, there's bigger things going on in the world than whether Justin Bieber knows some damn lyrics or not.
All right.
I mean, but whatever floats your boat.
You're going to be adding Latinos to the gays, the people who are upset with you after this episode.
First of all, I don't think the gays are going to be upset with me.
We'll
see. I'm more upset that you're upset. It's almost like you insinuated to me, this is to me, that I don't care about gay people.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, when you said that, well, I hope you don't go to any gay clubs, like, why would I stop going to gay clubs? I don't care what Donald Trump or the White House thinks about anything. I don't know why that would be shocking to you.
I would hope you'd be a better ally then.
I am an ally.
A better ally.
God, I can't fight every battle, especially with this White House. They're not worth my time is all that I'm saying.
All right, let's take another call.
Jesus.
Hello, Perez and Chris. This is Larry. I'm always asking you, Perez, on your Facebook Live or on Twitter, what you think about Shakira. So my question is about her. I wanted to know what you thought about her new album. If you've heard it, you didn't mention her when it was released, when you were discussing new releases. Also, what do you think about her, the way that she did this new album, which she released songs about a year in advance, single after single. But I think that she's the first one who has done this, where she releases songs because it's more about the song now and the hit than about the album, and then the singles come off of the album. So I just wanted to know what you guys think. Thank you so much.
I thank you for the question. I love Shakira. I love the album. I mean, I was surprised there wasn't more music on there, which is, I think, what he's getting at. Like, a lot of the songs had previously been released, but there were still like six new songs or five new songs or whatever. So it was like an EP. And actually, that's the new model, I really think. Like, I think the whole concept of albums, unless you're a Taylor Swift or an Adele, or that, I mean, but then again, like Halsey kind of delivered with her sophomore album. I don't know. I wish there was more music on it, but I'm not mad at it. Like, I'm just thankful we got new Shakira music.
I think she's hot. There's my answer.
Hey, Perez. Hey, Booker. I was wondering your thoughts on the new Ali and AJ song. I love it. And the second I heard it, I was like, I have to see what Perez and Booker think.
I don't know who Ali or AJ are.
I have not heard it. I got to check it out.
Hey, Perez. Hey, Chris Booker. Totally huge fan, Perez. I've been following you since I was probably like 12 years old, 23 now. So my question for you guys is, if there's one celebrity who, you know, used to make more headlines and were talked about more in the past that isn't really being talked about as much. If you guys have a celebrity that you wish was kind of talked about more or would make more headlines, who would that be? Thank you.
Good question. Actually, just yesterday I tweeted and I posted it, the kind of same messaging all over on my website, on Facebook, Andy Grammer. I'm like, so consistently good. And not as big as he should be. Like, I think he should be bigger. Like, he's so talented, mm-hmm. and I love his music. So there.
I think it's good when people aren't being talked about because it means that they're just doing their art and people are just caring about their art. I like it when my stars are not in the press. You know, I do.
If you're being talked about, usually that's a sign of success.
Is Arielle Winter being talked about, is that a sign of success or is that just a sign of the times?
I mean, I would say people are talking about Niall Horan and they're not talking about Andy Grammer.
Fair. But he's younger. It's that whole youth thing. Doesn't necessarily make Niall better. But that Slow Hand song is the jam, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a good song.
I've been saying that forever.
Hey, Perez. Hey, Booker. This is Trish. Love the show. I don't really have a question. Just wanted to say that, Perez, I pee all the time as well. So I don't think that there's a problem with it. Just listening to the voicemails you get from other people complaining about it. I drink a lot of coffee, so I pee quite a few times and probably wouldn't be able to hold it for an hour either. So that is all. Thanks, guys.
Bye. And the perfect call to end the show on.
I gotta go pee. Bye.
I know you do. 800-721-1185. We'll do this again next week. He's at the Perez Hilton. My Instagram, trying to get some followers there. Chris Booker. So follow me there. We'll see you folks again next week. Thanks for listening.